T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We get a little more clarity on some quarterback situations going on in the NFL. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to March Madness in just a moment, but Perloff, yesterday, the backup quarterback for your football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, that is now Kenny Pickett. He was meeting the media yesterday, and tried to be forthcoming about how things ended with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now that Pittsburgh is moving on with Russell Wilson and also Justin Fields. So let's hear a little from Kenny Pickett. In his opinion, he handled Russ and the arrival and the departure from Pittsburgh. He handled that all perfectly.
I think the communication, is what it is. It was behind closed doors. I'm confident in the way that I handled it. I handled it the way I should have handled it. I'm excited to be here. It worked out so well that Philly was the place I ended up landing in. So I think everything happens for a reason, and, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
All right. Kenny Pickett says he's ready for a fresh start, of course.
I just thought it was time. It just felt like it was time from, the things that transpired, and, wanted to get a chance to go somewhere else and continue to grow my career. And the fact that it's in Philly, the place that I grew up, found the love for the game here.
Okay. And finally, he wants to tell his side of the rumors that he refused to be a backup to Mason Rudolph when he was coming off of his ankle surgery.
Hey, Kenny, there were some reports that you refused to be an emergency quarterback toward the end of the year last season. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, I think that goes back to a lot of the communication behind closed doors that, didn't go the way that I feel like they went, how it's getting released. There was a plan there for that game. It went down exactly the way it was planned to go down that entire week. I was coming off the ankle surgery, so it is what it is. And
okay, so what I'm reading here from Kenny Pickett is that he feels like he was doing everything correctly and that the Steelers are now trying to paint him like he was some kind of malcontent, right?
Or is it the media? He's saying what I read in that last thing was the media reported that he didn't want to dress, where him and the team both knew that he wasn't going to dress.
Well, he's talking about the communication behind the scenes, right? So he's saying the communication is behind the scenes was one way, and then how it came out. That's kind of implying that the team leaked it, no?
Well, yes. You're taking that leap that the team leaked it. You could argue that the media got it wrong and that they were eager to believe that there was controversy there where it wasn't. So I don't think we know for sure. I mean, I kind of think that Kenny Pickett said, I don't want to go in as a backup.
You think he did not want to go back in?
I think at the end of the day, he did not want to go back in.
See, after hearing that, I don't think so. And I think Pickett now has really been painted here because he asked for a trade out. It looks like he did ask for a trade. If Russell Wilson's going to come in, this is obviously before Fields got traded there and the whole scenario changed again. But Russell Wilson's coming in. You didn't want to be the backup to Fields or to Wilson. That's a bad look to ask for a trade. I totally understand that. But the things leading up to it, I think Pickett probably has a gripe here. He looks bad. He definitely looks bad. But doesn't he have a gripe? I mean, he is the number one, the first round pick.
Okay.
He did get like an emergency surgery that was kind of like this thing called tightrope surgery to come back quicker. Mm-hmm. Tua had this at one point. And then he does everything he can to come back, and they decide to stick with Mason Rudolph because he had the hot hand?
Yeah, definitely. No, he doesn't have a gripe there. You gotta do what's best for the team. And clearly, Mason Rudolph was playing better football than Kenny Pickett and giving him a better chance to win just based on his win-loss record. Of course the team is going to go. It would have been crazy to put Pickett in there.
See, but it was already starting to look different with Pickett once they got Matt Canada
out
of there.
That was one game.
Okay, but we're going off of Deshaun Watson had one good half against the Ravens, and now we believe he could be back. you could have gotten on a roll here with Pickett and to show absolutely no faith in him. And I believe that the whole time Mason Rudolph was going to come back. I think that's what Kenny Pickett's telling you. Listen, we had a plan the whole week, and I think it was I was coming off of surgery and I was not cleared and I wasn't going to play.
Yeah, I mean, Mason Rudolph won his last three games as a starter, so I just don't think there was anything the Steelers could have done because Kenny Pickett was hobbling around on tightrope surgery. To put him in would have been malpractice, and I think he had to understand that. I do understand. He probably said, hey, listen, I have a banged-up ankle. I'm not going to be the backup. If you want me to start, I'll do it, but I don't want to be the backup. I think there was health concern.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Either you can play or you can't play.
Now, back to this thing about him saying, I don't want to be a backup to Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It's interesting. If the Steelers, I have a question for you, Maggie. If the Steelers didn't have Justin Fields floating around out there, would they have held on to him anyway? Do you think that they knew they could get Fields and said, ooh, we like Fields more than Pickett? Because I think that was part of the calculus of this decision to trade him to Philly.
I think there was always an interest in Fields.
Yes.
I do not think that that was a media invention. I think Mike Tomlin saying he liked Justin Fields, and yeah. I think Fields is going to end up playing more games this year than Russell Wilson. So I'm on record saying that. I think Fields is going to end up being the big winner out of this whole thing and the whole situation in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, that probably didn't make yeah. – they were willing to move on from Pickett a little too easily considering the first-round grade they had on him.
Yeah, and I'm, of course – there's a multiple reports that the Eagles were hunting around Justin Fields as well. I'm very frustrated that he's not an Eagle. I would take him over Kenny Pickett.
Well, of course. But here's the other part of this. You know, Mike Tomlin, part of the reason why they loved Kenny Pickett, right, because he was in the building. That was the thing. He was at Pitt. He was in the building. They share the practice facility, all of that. If this doesn't work out here with Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, yeah. and if the Steelers, because you don't think it's going to, you think this is more of the same bargain shopping for these two quarterbacks doesn't solve the problems that the Steelers have. It's right. not a meaningful upgrade, right?
Yeah, I think
put words in your mouth, but that's
yeah. I mean, they're going to be 10-7 again. So define workout. Yeah, they're going to have
a playoff game.
Yeah, I still think they're in that playoff limbo. I don't think that they're getting over the top with this move.
Okay, so how much of that does come back on Mike Tomlin? Because, again, Mike Tomlin is, I think, has a lot of power in the organization. Yeah. And I know Kevin Colbert was there at the very end, their GM, and was technically the one who selected Pickett. But I think Tomlin, I don't think a lot happens there without his sign-off. I don't think someone else is picking out the groceries and he's making the meal, to sure. quote Bill Parcells. Okay, so they were willing to move on from Pickett in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a failure. It's a failure to develop him. It was a failure all the way. Whatever you think about Pickett, yeah. it was a failure that the Bears did develop Justin Fields. It's a failure that the Steelers did not develop Pickett. How much does Tomlin have to wear that if this doesn't work out?
I mean, if he goes 10-7 again with this crew, how do you? You're never going to fire Mike Tomlin if he keeps having winning records. He's got to have a losing season before you fire him, right? That, in my opinion, it'd be insane to fire a future Hall of Famer coming off a 9-8 or 10-7 record. So who cares? If they took a, you know, that's a flyer, number 20 to take Kenny Pickett. That's not the number one overall pick. No, I don't think this failure is a blip for the Steelers. To me, it's not, he wasn't Trevor Lawrence. He was Kenny Pickett. And honestly, if the Steelers didn't take him at 20, he might fall into the second round. I think history is not going to kill them for this. Is this one of the all-time flops? Can you be a bust if you're number 20?
I mean, like an all-time flop. Boss. I mean, it's not like, you know, Ryan or Leaf or, you know, someone like that. And no, it's not an all-time flop. But at the same time, I think it looks so much worse on the Steelers because you had this institutional knowledge about Pickett. You liked him because he was in your backyard. You felt like you knew him. You should know him better than anybody. There's no surprises here. You're passing the guy in the hallway all the time.
But the main problem was they also knew Matt Canada. Pittsburgh Panthers offensive coordinator and hired him. You know, the thing about you also, you can't call Kenny. I'm looking at Kenny Pickett's record. He's 14-10 as a starter. So even that, I mean, I understand they won a lot of these games 17-10 or whatever. But that's not bust material at all. I think Kenny Pickett's in this weird place. Or we don't know where he is. And the other thing, too, the Eagles have resuscitated careers before. Maybe he'll be judged from his second run. No, I don't think
he's going to play for the Eagles.
Ooh, really? Interesting.
No, I'm assuming that Jalen Hurts is going to be...
Jalen Hurts...
Whatever knee issue is going to get fixed this offseason, and I think he's going to go into the season healthy.
Jalen Hurts, how old is he? 26? He plays like he is 42 years old. I think that Jalen Hurts will have some time on the bench this year for injuries. I just think that if Jalen Hurts keeps on, wants to get mobile again like he was 2 years ago, and I think there's some pressure to do that, that's the situation. Mobile quarterbacks, you know, they get hurt. Lamar Jackson has got hurt. Backups play. By week 15, we're going to have 20 backups in the games all over. Why not Kenny Pickett? He'll get out there, Maggie. He's inevitable. Kenny Pickett's is
inevitable.
Listen, this is a franchise that had Nick Foles win a Super Bowl. Backup quarterbacks are a big deal in Philly. They always get on the field.
Yeah, and how did that work out for the starter when Nick Foles won a Super Bowl? Carson Wentz was out of there. Poof, gone.
2 years later, after he signed the richest contract in NFL history, Nick Foles was the one who went away. Then Carson Wentz signed a contract, and then I don't know what happened. He won another playoff. He got to the playoffs the next year. I think that Jalen Hurts should look at history there and be a little nervous about this move. Would you be shocked if Kenny Pickett took over at some point because Hurts was nicked up and played well? I would not. Feels like that's the way the NFL works.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, so we got Kenny Pickett's side of things yesterday. Kind of led to some questions. I think this puts more on Mike Tomlin. You know, it just feels like Pickett's telling his side of the story. And while Pickett might not be the perfect narrator here, he's kind of painting it out like the organization is, whether they're leaking the stories, they're not doing enough to clean up the leak or to help him If they're not leaking the stories, then the organization's not doing enough to denounce the stories, if you will, or to say like, hey, this isn't true or whatever. I think they're letting him twist.
But the reality of the situation, they have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in that building right now. No one's going to be thinking about Kenny Pickett. They're going to get every single headline there is. Russ and Justin Fields, this is going to be the closest watch quarterback battle of the offseason. I think Kenny Pickett's going to be a distant memory by August.
Yeah, I think this is going to work in Pittsburgh, by the way. I do like it. As much as I'm saying Tomlin on the hot seat, and this or not on the hot seat, but Tomlin has to wear this, that Kenny Pickett never developed and all of that, I do think that this situation is going to work. And I think it's going to work with Fields.
Kenny Pickett is being kind of painted as this villain or this guy who's soft, who didn't want to work for it. I mean, I don't know. If you're him, you're a first-round pick, the team put their belief in you when you went out on the field. You saved the first season when you went out there. That was going to be, if Mr. Trubisky continued starting, that would have been a 5-win season. They actually won some games when he went out there. Then last year you were, yes, the numbers weren't great, but you were winning games. If I'm him, I don't feel like I should just be relegated to the bench as soon as Russell Wilson comes in. What has Russell Wilson won in the last 2 years? He went to a team with Super Bowl expectations, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. I have high expectations for Russell Wilson, but I do feel like this idea that Kenny Pickett is being painted as some like diva because he was being relegated to the bench without an opportunity to actually really compete for the starting job. Because as soon as they signed Russ, it was he's the starter, Pickett's the backup. I get why he would want to go out, and I don't know if it's fair to paint him as some villain because he wanted to leave. Now the whole benching thing, that was a whole different thing with Mason Rudolph, but the fact that he wanted to leave Pittsburgh, I think that it's unfair. He's being painted the way he is.
I mean, I think the NFL spoke on Kenny Pickett. He was traded for a fourth, third round pick swap. He's not a lot of value. I don't think anybody was that interested in Kenny Pickett. I think he's already viewed in the Mac Jones territory, right? It's kind of a similar trade. I don't think Kenny Pickett, if he thought he was a starter, how come nobody wanted him to start? That's the question. I think the NFL said, nah, we're not seeing it.
I'll tell you what, if we just zoom out for a second, a lot of whiffs going on lately with these quarterbacks. I mean, I know C.J. Stroud is coming off of the great rookie season, maybe one of the best we'll ever see, but Bryce Young so far has been not good. Yeah. We can look at that whole 2022 draft outside of Trevor Lawrence, who he is also not exactly blossomed into what we thought Trevor Lawrence is going to be yet, but Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, now you go back another year with Kenny Pickett, it has been a lot of whiffs, which kind of has me thinking about this quarterback class and how many surefire things do we really have in this year's quarterback,
right?
You know, with we think maybe 5-6 could go in the first round.
Well, because of the rookie salary cap though, you can easily afford to miss on a first round quarterback. That's why you used to pay Sam Bradford $50 million on his first contract. Those days are gone. You can easily pick a quarterback at 17. I still think it's worth the risk. Why not take a flyer on Bo Nix at 30 instead of letting him fall to another team or even the second round? Because if it doesn't work out, who cares? Just move on. Look at San Francisco. San Francisco is the ultimate example. They blew it on Trey Lance, and boom, they're in overtime in the Super Bowl. It just doesn't hurt people anymore.
Yeah, I think the San Francisco example, though, is like they just – I thought they got so lucky here. They got so lucky. I mean, Irrelevant comes and saves their behind.
Shanahan would have found someone else. It did not matter.
But
that's
who?
A system.
Like, you go out with guys like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G, I mean.
Who gets hurt.
Jimmy G has no value in the league right now, and he got that dude to the Super Bowl.
No, I know, but that's an imperfect. Like, I thought Shanahan, the 49ers, got so lucky with Brock Purdy. They can say they've been scouting him all that. They had all those rounds to take him and waited until Mr. Irrelevant. I mean, if the 49ers, if that Trey Lance thing had blown up even worse, I think we're not looking at it as like, oh, you know, just take a flyer.
I think those quarterbacks we mentioned outside of the 49ers situation, those situations were all in chaos with those first-round picks that didn't work out.
But they were in chaos before that first-round pick. I mean, the Patriots lost Tom Brady. They were already behind the eight ball. They had to take a flyer on somebody.
Right, but there wasn't this idea that Bill Belichick was going to get fired in a couple of years. I mean,
he beat out Cam Newton for the job.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was supposed to. I mean, the Jets situation, everybody's on the hot seat. Like, I don't know if it was necessarily. Now, those guys were a little higher than Kenny Pickett was. But to be fair, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a much better team. So maybe for them, it's not as big a risk. But I think for most teams, still, if you drive the first-round quarterback and it goes terribly, it's a disaster. It's a complete disaster. The Bears got lucky because the Panthers were stupid enough to take another bad first-round quarterback.
But the counter is if you pass on a first-round quarterback, it could also be a disaster. Washington not taking Justin Herbert was a huge mistake.
For sure.
I think it was Herbert. They took Chase Young instead. Yeah, so there's no perfect science here. I say over-invest in quarterback. Draft him. I don't need a safety in the second round if I can have a quarterback. Just get as many guys in the building. What's wrong with that? That's what the great teams do. Bill Belichick kept drafting quarterbacks with Tom Brady. He did Jimmy G in the second round. Ryan Mallett was second or third round. So if those guys keep on getting guys, I don't know. What's wrong with the little competition, Maggie? Having a guy breathing over the shoulder and motivate the starter.
My problem is not with the competition. My problem is with the evaluation. I mean, it just feels like there's so many things in sports that are getting better and better. And we know so much more and all this information. And the quarterback stuff is still this huge mystery. Like, you can go to the S2 test, the Wonderlic, the Combine, the Pro Days, the private investigators going back to kindergarten to try to see what these dudes are all about. It doesn't matter. We've got all the information in the world, and this still has not, we still are no closer to figuring out what makes a good quarterback and what doesn't. It's wild to me. Everything in sports gets better and gets more fine-tuned, and yet the quarterback stuff is still such a crapshoot.
I mean, there are a lot of number one picks making Pro Bowls. I mean, look at the 2020 draft. It was Burrow 1, Tua 2, Justin Fields 3, Jordan Love 4. Four first-rounders are all Pro Bowlers. So that was 4 for 4. And then Jalen Hurts was the fifth quarterback. I think it goes year by year. Teams are sort of, you get lucky or you don't get lucky. Like, last year's class was not very strong, wasn't very deep. So they had to, you know, I don't think they wanted to take Bryce Young number one. I mean,
they traded up to get him. Traded up with him in mind. Don't let them off the hook.
In the sense that I think they would have rather had a draft where Caleb Williams was there. But they looked at this draft and said, oh, C.J. Stroud's from Ohio State. They've all failed. Bryce Young seems to be the best guy, but they would have been pretty psyched if it was a Caleb Williams draft. You know, there's just different drafts or different things. Remember the year that the Jets were tanking? Who were they tanking for? Trevor, right? Yeah. Like, that's a year you want to be a draft. Last year, nobody.
They ended up with Zach Wilson. They forced it.
They traded up from 9-1, but we all knew last year was not a strong quarterback draft, right? I mean.
I don't think so. There was a lot of Bryce Young supporters.
You think Bryce Young was viewed the same way Caleb Williams is viewed this year?
Well, not Caleb, but he had basically the same stuff as Caleb. Like, he had the Heisman. He didn't have the physical tools, obviously, but I was the one who was very skeptical about Bryce Young, and I got called a hater every which way but Sunday. Yeah.
But, I mean, Caleb Williams, people have been talking about for 3 years, and teams were tanking for Caleb Williams. Nobody was tanking for Bryce Young. That's the way it played out. I mean, I don't think, you know, there was no, what is the expression? You always have tank for Tua.
Suck for luck.
Yeah.
Suck for luck. There was no be bad for Bryce.
But you still have a team 5'11". That traded all the way up from 9-1 and traded their best receiver and their next year's number one pick for Bryce Young.
And you look at the class. I mean, you're talking about three quarterbacks taking in the first four picks. This was not the Kenny Pickett class where you're talking about the first quarterback just taking his 20.
It is not this year's class. It is night and day different.
Yeah, I'm getting skeptical about this class, to be honest with you.
You got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. Compared to Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and Anthony Richardson, I will take this class 10 times out of 10. There are guys, Drake May has been, the NFL has been salivating over Drake May for since his freshman year.
It seems like everyone just takes the tape from his last season and wants to throw it out.
Yeah, I don't think the Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson class is anywhere near this. Yes, they did go high, but they are. I'll bet you long run this class is way more productive.
Well, but Stroud is already off to a pretty good start.
Yeah.
You're picking them to go to the Super Bowl, aren't you?
Maybe. No, Stroud's Stroud's amazing, but I think there's multiple Pro Bowlers in this class for sure.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Guess what? Perloff goes against the grain next. Don't move.
Big debate here on Maggie and Perloff show. First round quarterbacks, you kill a team if they miss. We're going to get to against the grain in a moment where we'll discuss this. But listen, for every Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, there's a Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. So it's not all bad in the first round. Just saying.
Yeah, this is specifically about the Steelers and how much do they have to wear the fact that Kenny Pickett, okay, didn't want to compete with Russell Wilson. You want to, you know, chastise him for that? Fine. But they did nothing really for Pickett. This was a lot of the playbook of how you don't develop a quarterback. To be honest, the Chicago Bears with Justin Fields, too. Switching offensive coordinators, switching coaches a lot. You know, the instability, not having good pieces around. I guess the Steelers had better pieces around Pickett, but you know what I mean.
But if you ever read one of those Mike Sando anonymous GM pieces, there's a lot of skepticism about Kenny Pickett. There are a lot of people who don't think Kenny Pickett's a good quarterback. I mean, no, that's the bottom line.
Let's go to the phones. Bill's in California. Let's talk about first-round quarterbacks. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're great. How are you?
Good. Hey, Perloff, I'm still waiting for that call for the RV ride, just letting you know.
Hey. Oh, Bill. You know, it's funny. Because of March Madness and everything, we got our one-hit wonders bracket going on. We've got our Pearl Jam Season 3 bracket. We got WrestleMania coming up, which is a whole big thing. We've kind of put the Perloff road trip to San Antonio a bit on the back burner.
Well, we're not sure. I mean, yes, Wemby's basically averaging a triple-double this month and 30 points and winning games.
Yeah.
But it's not over yet for Rookie of the Year.
He's going to be driving to San Antonio to apologize to Wemby, no doubt.
Hey, this is my question to you guys as the media.
Yeah.
If these first-rounders, you know, be it that it's Fields or Jones or Wilson or any of these guys that were up there, if they were playing for Kyle Shanahan and they did what, you know, good like Brock Purdy this year, would you guys be saying, oh, that's where he's supposed to be? That's where, or would you be saying he's a system quarterback? Because that's what you called Brock Purdy, as a system quarterback,
right?
And he's a good quarterback because he wasn't a first rounder. You guys call him a system quarterback. Now, would you have the same quotations on these first rounders if they were playing for Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you want to ask that question to Andrew Perloff, who called Tom Brady a system quarterback. I think that Perloff in the system, there's no end. Like, everyone's part of the system, in your opinion. First round, sixth round, greatest of all time, biggest flop, doesn't matter.
I think it is wrong to say Patrick Mahomes will be Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid. I think everybody, it's a very, very team sport. It's the most team sport of all the four major American sports because there's so many dudes on the field. I think you have to be a great team guy, a quarterback, and I think you need a great coach. There are coaches. Matt Canada could have ruined anybody. I don't think there's any quarterback that can overcome the worst play caller in the league. Honestly, I think Arthur Smith could probably ruin anybody. So we'll see. He's the guy to develop Justin Fields. We'll see about that. That's why I'm more skeptical than you about the Steelers. So I do think system is a big deal. Now, the question, Trey Lance, I think it's was he talking about Trey Lance? I was a little confused.
Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, any of the first rounders.
If they had succeeded, would we have called them a system quarterback? I think Trey Lance, we might have, because Trey Lance had no college success, so we didn't know him in any other system. I mean, he had success, but we didn't see it because it was in North Dakota State.
Now, you and I will always disagree about Mahomes. I think if you had put Mahomes on another team, he's still Mahomes. And I know Andy Reid is a great coach, but the reason why they say Travis Kelce is still open after all these years is because they're just doing backyard football. They're not even, it's like a lot of times this isn't even plays. At least that's how they're making it seem to the outside. Like, hey, we just say, Travis, go get open. That's just two athletes making plays. To me, that's not the system.
But how do you explain that Andy Reid's had success with every quarterback?
I think he's a good coach. I'm not taking away, but my question is, would Patrick Mahomes thrive outside of Andy Reid?
Would he be chasing Tom Brady?
I think so. I do.
Oh, no way. If the Jets had taken him at six that year with Jamal, they took Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
There is no way he is on the heels of the GOAT with three Super Bowl rings.
Listen, this is why quarterbacks change fortunes. I don't think anyone was looking at the Cincinnati Bengals and saying that they were going to be in a Super Bowl or perennial contenders and Joe Burrow goes there and everything is different. And I do think quarterbacks have that much of an influence.
Wow. Okay. I mean, say the Bears had taken Mahomes over Trubisky. That's not happening either. I just completely disagree.
Well, I think Caleb Williams is going to turn around the Bears. So I don't know if he's not going to be as good as Mahomes. I think that's probably, but his biggest comp is Mahomes. And we're literally going to get to test this in real time. At some point, every quarterback, every team's fortunes do change off of a quarterback. The Bills, their fortunes have changed. They haven't won yet, but they are now relevant. I think if Deshaun Watson actually played how we thought he was going to play, like he did in Houston, I think the Browns would finally had their quarterback. I think the Bears could have a chance.
Do you think if Josh Allen was a quarterback of the Chiefs, he'd have a ring yet?
I do. And I think that And I think if Patrick Mahomes was on the Bills, I think they would have a ring.
Maybe one, but there's no way.
Okay, I'm telling you.
Josh Allen doesn't have a ring in Buffalo, but if you put him in that system in Kansas City, he has a ring.
And so I'm telling you, if Mahomes was in Buffalo with Sean McDermott, I still think they win.
Ooh.
Maybe. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Mahomes would be successful anywhere. I think he's one of those
guys.
He
might be successful, but I think I think you can marry the two together. You could say Belichick and Brady were successful together. Reed and Mahomes are successful together. He's not winning three Super Bowls in Chicago. I mean, that's a lot of Super Bowls.
It's a lot of Super Bowls. I mean,
listen, the other thing, too, is just how special this Mahomes thing is. I don't think you can underestimate that.
That's true.
I think it has a lot to do with Reed. The whole thing works together. How did we even
About Bill's call. Yeah. It's funny, though, because I think up until a year, 2 years ago, a lot of people believed it was Brady and Belichick together that did this. Poll people now.
Yeah, but I think in 10 years, they'll okay. Right now, it feels like Brady.
Poll people now.
Yeah.
Who's more responsible for the dynasty? And I bet it'd be a landslide right now with Brady over Belichick.
Right, but Brady himself said, if I got drafted by Arizona, none of this happened.
Right.
Which is fact.
And right, it does. But Patrick Mahomes was a first-round pick. Brady was a sixth-round pick. There's so many more variables. Patrick Mahomes, no matter where he was going, was drafted to be the starter. Brady was drafted to be a glorified tackling dummy.
Which, ironically, Patrick Mahomes didn't start his rookie year, but the teams around him, if another team had taken, if he had gone to Houston with Bill O'Brien, to think that that team was going to win three Super Bowls with what was going on in that building, no way.
Let's not paint Kansas City like they were this, the culture there was so beautiful and great. Only a couple years before, they had one of the biggest tragedies that happened in the entire NFL. This was not, I think Mahomes did this. You could say Reed too. I'm giving Reed credit. I'm just giving more credit to Mahomes.
I don't know. Mahomes took over a pretty darn good team in Kansas City. What were they, 11-5?
Yeah, he got drafted to a good spot. I think his talent is so good he would have overcome it. Also, listen, I think Andy Reed, he's a great offensive coach. He's a great coach, but he farms out the defense. It's not like, he's one of these coaches that's the CEO. I mean, he is a CEO, but that he's just sort of overlording and John Harbaugh type of thing. Yeah. He just lets Steve Spagnuolo do what he wants.
Right, but he makes quarterbacks great. That's my take. And he didn't make Mahomes great. Mahomes was going to be great anywhere, really took him to the next level.
Okay, but you just said what I've been saying. Mahomes would have been great anywhere. You literally said
He wouldn't be. He would be chasing Tom Brady. He wouldn't be this all-time, probably first or second for sure, all-time greatest quarterback. I don't think that's happening if he goes to Chicago. I think he's closer to Josh Allen.
Peter Schwartz is here. Hello, Peter. How are you?
I am doing well. Good morning. Blake Snell finally smells because he's not a Yankee. Blake Snell finally has a home. The Giants and the free agent lefty have reportedly agreed on a 2-year, $62 million deal. The reigning National League Cy Young Award winner has an opt-out in the contract after the first season. Now to the NBA, and we'll begin in Salt Lake City.
Top of the key, Ant rises, free throw line, jumper, hits it! He is money! A monster fourth quarter with 11 points. He's 5 of 5 shooting. He's got 23 in the second half.
That was Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. T-Wolves over the Jazz, 114-104. Anthony Edwards, 32 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Earlier in the show, you were talking about the Warriors struggling and losing some faith in them, right? So they did lose to the Knicks last night, 119-112. A big problem for the Warriors this year has been their play at home. Last night dropped them to 17 and 18 at the Chase Center, and that was something that head coach Steve Kerr talked about last night.
It's always important to control your home floor. This has been a strange season in that regard. We've been good at home for a long time and just haven't been able to establish, you know, that that dominance at home. And that's what's keeping us from, you know, climbing up in the standings.
Wasn't it just last season that the Warriors were terrible on the road?
Yep.
Why did things flip-flop so quickly?
It's amazing how they can't win at home.
It's dumbfounding. But, again, I think this is what happens to older teams who are over the hill.
But you think the home would be a good thing, you know?
I know, but I think when we talk about, you know, why are teams inconsistent, it's like, well, they're consistently inconsistent. Like, they are who they are. Like, yeah. this is who the Warriors are going to be, I think, year in and year out until they make some kind of massive changes. I don't know what they are. I don't think it has anything to do with getting rid of Kerr or Curry, but I think everyone else, if I'm looking at that roster, major overhaul's got to come.
Well, they just extended Draymond, so he's not going anywhere.
Which was stupid.
And Clay, we'll see.
I think they need height. I mean, not to be so obvious. I know the league got small, but do they have a prayer if they ever saw the Nuggets in the playoffs? I mean, how are they going to guard Gordon, Porter, and Jokic? So, and they have Kuminga, but is Kuminga that tall?
I mean, Kuminga is 6'7". I mean, he's a small forward. I mean,
they early on they had Andrew Bogut, and I feel like that tall center was kind of important to the team, even though he wasn't one of the stars. I agree with you guys. They seem to be built kind of funny right now. I love your Last Dance thing.
Yeah.
But Steph seems a little ageless. I feel like there could be another dance coming. They build a team around him. Maybe we have that in 2 years.
No, I can't keep calling Last Dances, though. That's kind of like I can't be like, all right, I was wrong about the Last Dance this year. Next year's really the Last Dance when your star is 35.
If they're in the 10 seed, it's not over. The Lakers what were the Lakers last year? They got to the conference final.
They were 7 seed.
They were seven.
So that's the thing. Like, those teams, the Warriors and the Lakers, they were much better last year than they are this year. Like, I know people keep saying, well, they're in the play-in, so maybe they have a shot. Like, the Lakers and Warriors would have made the playoffs had they been if we didn't have a play-in tournament. Like, those teams still would have been in.
Right.
So this is not we're talking about them in the 9th and 10th seed. We went to the 1-8. They wouldn't even be in the conversation. So these teams aren't that good. I'm sorry.
The Lakers are pretty similar to last year. You think they're way different? Last year, they ended up at 43-39. They're going to have a better record this year. I think they're pretty good.
They made all the changes.
Compared to the rest of the Western Conference, I think they're not on par with these other teams.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. Because you're right. They're going to have a better record this year, but the competition is too good.
But
like,
Davis
last year, the West was right for the taking, and they took it to their credit.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis is a little better this year. So I think he's kind of been an MVP player. Both those teams, Golden State and Lakers, do you really want to play them? We talk about them like they're dead. Can you imagine? I'm the young Minnesota T-Wolves or the Thunder, and you got Curry or LeBron on the other side?
I think if I was playing the Lakers, I'd be worried. I'm not worried about this Warriors team. I think them stick a fork in them.
I like this from Delta 9's in the chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. It's the second to Last Dance. And I don't even know. I don't think you can call that, but I appreciate the bailout.
Is there any avenue for the Warriors? I know Carlos mentioning height, and I think that's part of it. But I also think they need, like, a real second scorer. Like, they went and got Chris Paul, who, in theory, they thought maybe could give Steph Curry more opportunities to shoot, but he's already got a million opportunities to shoot. I don't know if that really was what they really needed. They need a second guy. Like, Clay's on the decline. Andrew Wiggins, it just doesn't seem like he's been right since whatever happened last year happened to him.
Yeah.
They don't have a second scorer, and that's the problem. All these teams I'm looking at the top of the West, they all got two guys who can take over games.
I think it's the James Wiseman thing. That's who they needed. They needed their Jaren Jackson Jr. They needed another star who was a front court player, and it just didn't work out. Although he's on my Pistons now, right? So I can root for him. But a few things went wrong. And also, is Kuminga a star? He's the most mysterious player. I can no longer stay up late enough to watch him. He's so talented, but he's not that guy. You're right. They need a second star.
Wait, hold on. But didn't they trade James Wiseman and win the title?
Yeah, they did.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
but
as far as sustaining success for a long time, they kind of needed. They had all those high draft picks. He was a number two pick, and you thought they were building a sort of second dynasty, and it's not happening.
What else we got?
Other games last night. Lakers beat the Hawks 136-105. D'Angelo Russell with 27 points. He had the Celtics over the Pistons, 119-94. 76ers beat the Heat, 98-91. The Bulls over the Blazers, 110-103. 107. Now to baseball. Sammy Sosa back in Chicago this past weekend for an autograph signing. It was his first time back in the Windy City since his career came to an end in 2007. He did take a moment to speak with the local Fox affiliate in Chicago, and he is hoping that one day, soon, he could make amends with the Cubs.
Well, like I say, you know, I'm a mature man. I think that it's a possibility that we can do that. I'm open. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I have, like I said, I have a lot of misunderstanding in the past, but now I'm a real man. I feel great, so I recognize my mistake. So, hey, why not?
So he talked about a misunderstanding in the past. So now came the follow-up question.
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids?
this is, like I say, this is, not a question that I expected from you.
And then Sosa cut the interview short. So he said he's a changed man, he's matured, and then he didn't want to answer that question.
How do you not expect that question? Well, you say that I realize I made mistakes and that maybe I should do something.
I do never underestimate the level of delusion for any athlete or famous person, especially someone of the caliber of Sosa, the star power. In some ways, I kind of feel like whatever's going on between him and the owner of the Cubs, who was not the owner of the Cubs when he was, you know, a star there, can this get done behind closed doors? Why does this have to be so public? The guy doesn't want to admit that he's done steroids. You either care about Sammy Sosa at this point or you don't. Whether he makes amends with the team, that to me doesn't have to be public. The Cubs fans aren't demanding an apology. Tom Ricketts is demanding an apology from Sosa. Like, I don't know. Is there a Cub fan out there? Don't they just want to? Can they just let the sleeping dog lie? Don't the Cardinal fans still love Mark McGwire? Mm-hmm. And don't fans still love guys who tested positive? Why does this have to be so public to me? Is the question.
I mean, just move on. I mean,
that's what I'm asking.
It's like, you know, if he's part of the team's history, it's not like, look, he did something incredibly stupid and wrong, although it led to a golden age of baseball that brought them back from the strike.
Or whatever percentage was also doing it.
But the point being is that, you know, the Yankees still, you know, acknowledge Alex Rodriguez. The Red Sox, listen, Big Poppy's in the Hall of Fame, so the Red Sox still acknowledge, you know, David Ortiz. So just, you know, move along. But how could he have not known that question was coming? I agree with EJ. Like, that makes it 100 times worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I always also like to give some grace to people when English isn't their first language and they're still doing the interviews. I know Sosa's been in this country for a long time.
You have not been back in the city since 2007. You're back. You don't think you're getting that question?
Well, maybe he thinks like time is passing.
His representative who
I have no idea.
His representative who booked him at the autograph show, and I'm guessing, just guessing, that he arranged that interview and told the Fox people he's going to be there. You're going to be asked a question about steroids. Like, that's just...
Again.
And it was a follow-up. It wasn't even like, hey, nice for all that fluff you just gave me. I want to ask you about steroids. It was him with this very, like... statement about the mistakes that he made. And then the reporter, I don't know if he's going to bring it up, quite frankly. I don't know if the reporter's going to bring it up until he said that.
Mistakes. But
and that's when, of course, just like when he was on Congress, that's when Sammy Sosa all of a sudden doesn't know English.
Well, that's the thing.
He perfectly knows that English when he's talking about what he wants to talk about. But when you ask him about steroids, it's no habla English.
Yeah, I have no problem with a reporter asking the follow-up question. Of course not. That to me is totally fine. And it got awkward for sure. I'm just wondering, why do the Cubs owners, who are you doing this for? Are you doing it for the Cubs fans? Do the fans of the Cubs actually want a pound of flesh? I see Giants fans who welcome back Barry Bonds and could care less at this point. Maybe some still do, and that's fine. I just wonder who this is for. You're trying to, as EJ would say, stand on business, 10 toes down, whatever, that Sammy Sosa is going to have to apologize publicly, when I don't even think the Cubs fans necessarily want that or care. They just might want to welcome back someone who gave them a good time.
Well, he was there for an autograph signing. He was there. There obviously people have an interest in him because they were going to pay for his autograph. So it's not like he was there as guests of the Cubs to go to this autograph signing.
No, their relationship is bad. I think because the owner wants him to admit the steroids.
Let's be real. The Ricketts family, they've been terrible of late.
Right, they're not that popular.
Yeah. So like for them to really be like, hey, we're gonna be the ones to stand on principle and say, no, Sammy Sosa, you don't belong here. You're right. No one in Chicago is asking for some kind of, like, they've been cheated. Like, I mean, I don't get that impression.
Well, that's why I wonder about this relationship. Anyway.
There you go.
There we go. All right, we have not gotten to Perloff's Against the Grain. We will do that next. Don't move, Maggie and Perloff CB.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, Sports Radio.
Against the Grain.
All right, Maggie. We have a draft situation. We have a draft trade brewing, and nothing is more exciting than two things, the draft and trades. So Minnesota makes a deal with Houston to get an extra first-round pick. Everybody assumes that they're going to package them to move up for a quarterback. And I think the assumption is that it'll be J.J. McCarthy, who Minnesota is meeting with next week. I say no, not so fast. If you're going to trade up in the first round, you're not trading up for J.J. McCarthy. You have to trade up to get in the top three. And that means either Chicago, not going to be Chicago, they're taking Caleb Williams, Washington at two or New England at three, because J.J. McCarthy is not worth trading up for. I'm sorry, he threw 22 touchdowns last year. This is modern college football. If Michigan's not going to let him throw, then why is he that hot a prospect? There's a lot of speculation going on. Mel Kiper, ESPN's draft guru, said that he heard the Patriots are not that into Drake May, which means the Patriots could trade that spot. Albert Breer, who covers the Patriots and the national scene, says the Patriots are not looking to trade that spot. I think that Minnesota is going to call them. Their first call is going to be New England. They say, we're going to give the number 11 pick, the number 23 pick, and next year's first rounder, and another lower round pick. Will you take that for the right to take Drake May at number three? I think the Patriots would do that. Because the Patriots need everything. They don't just need a quarterback. Why would you bring a quarterback there? There are no receivers. You need a left tackle. The defense is good, but aging. I just think if you draft Drake May in New England, you're setting him up for failure. And I think New England deep down knows that, and they might listen to Minnesota. I think it's more likely that Minnesota gets up to number three and takes Drake May, assuming he's there. He might go two to Washington. Then number four with Arizona and J.J. McCarthy. What do you think?
Wow. It is definitely against the grain, because I think a lot of people are connecting dots here that Minnesota would trade up, but they're going to have the fourth pick of quarterbacks. because I think a lot of people, myself included, would think it's ridiculous that the New England Patriots would think they can pass on a quarterback. And you're going to pass on a quarterback when you're picking three and this, the top of this class, I know we've talked about quarterbacks being a crapshoot, but the top of this class has been very highly touted. And you've got to start some kind of rebuild. You think Robert Kraft is going to get rid of Bill Belichick, have Gerard Mayo in there so they can, what, tank? For who? Shador? I mean, I just don't know where that leads you. You're already picking third. It's time to reset with a quarterback because Mac Jones didn't work. I just don't think that pick's actually for sale. However, I do think, for example.
It could be McCarthy.
But I was going to say. Yeah. So what happens, let's say picks 1, 2, and 3 are not for sale, right?
Yeah.
What do the Vikings do then? Do they use this draft capital to get up to 4? Or do you think they just stick at 11?
4 okay. or 5, for sure. But also, the Patriots could take McCarthy. That's also a big draft rumor out there that they like McCarthy more than May, which does make sense. May is supposedly a developmental quarterback that he's not completely polished. We'll see. He's big. I think also, too, Minnesota's got to like Drake May because he's tall, just like Kevin O'Connell. That's my one thing. Kevin O'Connell's
looks
gigantic.
Looks like Kevin O'Connell? That's funny.
Yeah. Well, Kevin O'Connell's 6'5", May 6'5". I don't understand McCarthy. I don't understand the McCarthy thing at all. So there's a lot of speculation that Arizona's for sale at 4 because they have needs everywhere. Of course they'll trade out of 4. And the Chargers have all sorts of needs because their team's gotten so old. They'll trade out of 5. So Minnesota could easily trade up there and get J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, but that's my thing. Is J.J. McCarthy worth trading up for? Like, that's the premise of your against the grain, right? Why would you trade up just to get J.J. McCarthy when...
I don't think so, but I think they will because I think everyone thinks that J.J. McCarthy won't get past the Giants at 6.
Ah, okay, right. So you're dealing with the Giants.
And the other rumor is the Giants will trade up into 4 or 5 to get McCarthy. So there's going to be a little, you know how quarterbacks are. You got to jump the team ahead of you.
This is how you make mistakes.
Cardinals and Chargers at 4 and 5 are for sale. It's going to be really interesting. Here's one just general take.
Yeah.
It's been 1, 2, 3. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May since January 1st. When does it ever work out that the draft works out that way? It can't be that obvious.
No, and I think you're also seeing this funny thing about Marvin Harrison Jr. versus Malik Nabers,
yeah.
which is also kind of interesting to me. I think they're both going to be really good, but Marvin Harrison Jr. has been the leader in the clubhouse of the first non-quarterback off the board since he debuted.
Right. Now all these draft analysts are saying Nabers might be QB1. No, I mean wide receiver 1. No way. It's Marvin Harrison.
Could it all be a smokescreen? I don't know. Coming up, we dive back into March Madness. Jordan Cornette's calling games for Westwood One. He's going to be at the Pittsburgh Regional calling games. Get his thoughts next. Played at Notre Dame. Don't move.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.